You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Morality has become an issue throughout the world, even in politics. Some candidates claim to be more moral than others, and some people claim to be governed by a higher standard of morality than others. Somebody just has to say that public morality throughout the world is not of a very high order. At best, it can be described as mediocre. Jesus Christ called for a higher standard of morality than that, for a righteousness exceeding that even of the Pharisees, the most religious people of that time, or probably of any time. As spokesman for Christ, St. Paul said to a typical community in the Roman Empire, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." The mediocre morality that permeates the world and is highly prized by many people may be an insult to God. It is also an insult to the world, where people like to enshrine mediocrity, especially in their morality. The word mediocre, at least at its beginning, meant halfway up the mountain. To be mediocre meant to be satisfied with the average or with something a little bit below the average. Climbing halfway up the mountain is the easy part. It's the next part of the climb that really counts. Mediocrity keeps people from excelling or even trying to do their best. Morality itself has come to have a bad name because the mediocre or worse has become the standard of morality, wherever standards have not disappeared entirely. In many countries of the world, not working too hard is almost an article of faith. People tell each other, "Don't work too hard. You will make it difficult for your fellow workers." In some countries, that kind of mediocrity is practically imposed on people in the political system under which they have to live. Excellence will not be tolerated. Strong pressure is applied to maintain mediocre standards. In 1983, a report by the National Commission on Excellence in Education in the United States stated that public schools were suffering from a rising tide of mediocrity. The situation has not changed very much since that time. A teacher of English in one of the schools in the United States told a friend of mine that students from foreign lands do better in English than the people who've been raised in the country. Those for whom English is their native tongue have no strong interest in doing well, it seems. Rita Kramer, author of In Defense of the Family, published in 1983, points out that a generation has arisen of children who know how to multiply themselves but can't multiply numbers, who can write slogans about the environment and feminism but can't write a good paragraph. Norman Corwin, in his book Trivializing America, The Triumph of Mediocrity, says that modern culture often focuses on the trivial. He says that triviality is a phenomenon of our time that limits people's capacity to think. It is getting along, he says, by going along. Spiritual mediocrity is a fact of life today. It's the way to be. Step out of that mediocrity with genuine faith in God and determination to live a moral life, and you make a spectacle of yourself. St. Paul experienced the same thing in his day. He had to jolt even those early Christians out of their usual way of thinking and doing things. "Christ," said Paul, "has changed everything by dying for the sins of the world." In the first part of his letter to the Colossians, Paul kept calling attention to what Christ has done and what has happened as a result. First of all, Paul thanked God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying for these people ever since he first heard about their faith in Jesus Christ and the love that they had toward all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for them in heaven, which they first heard about in the word of the truth of the gospel. He said that this gospel was even now present among them, just as it was in all the world, bearing fruit and increasing, just as it was among them ever since the first day they heard about it and recognized the grace of God in truth. Paul thanked God who had fitted him out, and all these other people too, through the death of Christ on his cross for a measure of the inheritance of the saints in light. Jesus Christ, Paul added, has rescued us from the power of darkness and taken us over into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. The mystery of it all, once hidden from the ages and from generations past, now has been disclosed to God's people, Paul said. People need to know what are the riches of the glory of this ministry among the nations of the world. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When people receive Christ into their hearts, things happen. Since you have received Jesus Christ as the Lord, Paul said, have your way of life in him, rooted down and built up in him, and made firm in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with thanksgiving. God has forgiven you your sins, having wiped out the handwriting of charges that were against you, and has removed them from the scene, having nailed them to the cross of Christ. Christ laid off the powers and the authorities like a worn-out suit of clothes and has made a show of them openly, dragging them along in his procession as a conqueror did in those days with the spoils of his conquests. Now that Christ has been raised from the dead, things can happen. Morality takes on a new color. It is no longer pale-faced, but ruddy-hued. There is flesh on these bones and color in these cheeks, without benefit of that cosmetic which is mediocre morality. You have been raised together with Christ, said Paul. Seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on earth. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Whenever Christ appears, who is your life, you will also appear with him in glory. People infected by moral mediocrity seldom do anything more than to conform. They blend in with the majority. They bend to peer pressure. They don't want to be ridiculed, rejected, or look foolish. There are no moral absolutes. If everybody else is doing it, they say, why shouldn't I? If it feels good, do it. Speaking from the standpoint of Christ, Paul said in his third chapter of the letter to the Colossians, commonly mediocre society is characterized by immorality, impurity, and lust, by what he called the things of earth, fornication, uncleanness, illicit passion, evil desire, and that greed which is idolatry. Because of these things, the anger of God is visited on people. Paul might just as well have been talking about today, when sex-saturated movies, thanks to some forms of television, bring moral filth into millions of homes. Pornographic magazines and books flourish, despite every attempt to put a stop to this flow from what can only be called an immoral cesspool. There are studied efforts these days to make purity a thing of the past. Somebody told me about a bumper sticker he saw recently. It said, I give instructions in sex, first lesson free. A pastor told me recently that he rarely marries a couple that has not already lived together for some time. In one section of a large city, 86% of live births are illegitimate. Paul added that in a society where morality is mediocre, covetousness becomes common. Covetous people are driven by an excessive longing to have more and more things. People are so preoccupied with the temporal that they don't even bother about the eternal. They're forever discontented and are always craving for more. They grab and they grasp. They don't own things. Things own them. They use others to do things for their own benefit, to gratify their own wishes and whims. The overriding question is, will it give me what I want out of life? Mediocre morality is characterized by selfishness. It is being addicted to pleasure rather than dedicated to service. The apostle urged his people, the people of God. Don't succumb to the immoral, the covetous, the selfish culture that surrounds you. Rise above spiritual mediocrity. Strive for excellence. Look up to the God of excellence, by whose power even death turns into life. And then go on and live. In a world of mediocrity, governed by majority opinion, the apostle tells people, don't be a copycat. Don't take your cues from the crowd. Don't mimic the behavior of this mediocre generation. Be distinctive. Don't compromise your principles. Refuse to lower your standards. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Take your standards from the one whom God has sent to be the standard of all. Don't try to impress people. Be more attentive to what God thinks about you than to what people say about you. Have the desire to please God. That kind of life is a cut above every other kind of life. It cuts out the mediocrity of our time. It is head and shoulders above the crowd. The world is governed by all kinds of desires, most of them bad. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk. Put all that stuff to death, said Paul, with all of its immorality, impurity, selfish passion, evil desire, greed, and covetousness, which amounts to simple idolatry, where things are worshipped and God is ignored. When a mosquito attacks you, you don't just gently push it aside. You smack it quickly. You kill it. That's the way to deal with evil. Don't entertain it, rationalize it, or justify it. Hate evil. Resist it. Have nothing to do with it. Get rid of it. Evil is to be avoided like the plague. Say no to drugs and to every other kind of illicit activity. Say yes to God. It's what He expects you to do. How can you do that? It's not impossible. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your life. That's not just religious talk. It's a way of life. The way of life in Christ, who has been raised from the dead and raises you from the dead every day in newness of life. Now that's the way to live. The Bible has good news and bad news. The good news is always associated with Jesus. The bad news is that you are a sinner, whoever you are. The good news is that God, for the sake of Christ, forgives sins and gives people the power to live new lives. Can you really hate sin and love life? You better believe it. You can see faith in Christ working all around you, even now. Some people, probably in your own neighborhood, put away the old nature with its practices and put on a new nature, energized by Christ and His ability to control for the benefit of people. Nobody is perfect, not even you. Don't look at me, not even me. We all need God and His forgiveness. God is near to every one of us. With all of His forgiveness, there's nothing mediocre about that. He has to forgive a lot, and He does forgive a lot. He forgives and He forgets. He is God. How do you get to know God? How does He come close to you? In His Son, Jesus Christ, who is and always will be with every one of us. In the Bible, Jesus Christ is described as being altogether human and altogether God. Having atoned for the sins of the world, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of His Father. He emphasizes His lordship in the world with forgiveness that is not mediocre, with love that rejects mediocrity, and with His power that lifts above all the moral mediocrity at large in the world. When being good is not good enough, only forgiveness by the love and the power of Christ will do. Christ wants you to be better and to strive for the best, to rise above the mud of mediocrity. How do you do that? Paul doesn't leave anyone in the lurch on how to do it. Christ laid off all the old powers and authorities and dragged them along in his triumphal procession, put on the new suit of clothes, the new dress, as people chosen by God, declared holy by God for the sake of Christ, loved by God in Christ. Put on a new morality, really new, governed by compassion, kindness, genuine goodness, true humility that cannot be faked, gentleness, and great-heartedness with all the patience it requires. Put up with one another and forgive one another if someone has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you. And add to all of that love, which is the last link in the chain of completeness. Let the peace of Christ be the final umpire in your hearts, the peace to which you have been called in one body. And remember to be thankful. Let the word of Christ take up residence in you richly, with all good sense instructing and encouraging one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And everything, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When you look at all of those qualities mentioned by Paul, you recognize them as belonging to a real gentleman, a spiritually educated woman, a boy or girl really growing up to honor the Lord. Everything focuses on Jesus. As he is, that's the way to be. The new morality, which is not the old immorality in all its mediocrity, offers a new quality of life, its richness in character, rather than richness in things. Character becomes prized as it grows in maturity. The high watermark of real character is peace, the peace of Christ, in determining decisions that have to be made. He's the active umpire in charge of the rules of the game. In the midst of a lonely world, it's great to see people moved by the spirit of thanksgiving. No more ingratitude here. Christ has died, and forgiveness is for real. No more preoccupation with the ordinary here. Christ has been raised from the dead to become the first fruits of a harvest that is even now coming in. No more being satisfied with mediocrity in anything, especially in morality. You have been crucified with Christ, so to speak. Having been raised together with Christ, you catch sight of a new vision right here on earth. And the vision is of things above. Now's the time to say it with singing. Away with mediocrity. Now is the time to walk with a springy step, to run not with the crowd, but with the best, to be among the leaders which the world needs, providing leadership for which the world is actually starving. True leadership, without that pride of person which is governed by the drive to possess and to impress. Freed by Christ from the compulsion to conform, from the suction of the mud of moral mediocrity. Now is the time, not tomorrow, but today, for genuine moral heroism that does not despise the ordinary, but accomplishes the extraordinary. Do everything, whatever you do, in word or in deed. Everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, through him. Amen.